The second reading is written in the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 7 to 12, on page 1227 in the Pew Bible. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One person out of very many on D-Day 75 years ago, Sergeant Arthur Thompson, 2nd Battalion, East Yorkshire Regiment. As soon as the craft hits the beach, the front drops and the centre groups have to get out, dash out straight away. Otherwise, the others can't get out. And this young Joe we had with us, he stood there and he was petrified, so nobody could move. Everybody is just shouting, "Get out of the bloody road." And eventually I just pushed him so that we could get out. By that time, the beach was getting covered with dead and wounded. You were jumping over them as you went in, and that's when you start to say your prayers. I said my prayers when we got out of that boat and we're going up them beaches, because there's that many laid about, wounded and dead. On this Remembrance Day, we remember the sacrifice of previous generations, of all that people have given for us that we may enjoy today. We remember that. We remember the Christian civilization that those people were fighting for that we still enjoy today. We remember the absolute focus that was given by past generations to facing the threats that were there in the 20th century, and hopefully we're inspired to similarly face the threats that we do this century, not least the accelerating threat of the climate crisis. So give thanks for all those who've made the sacrifice in previous times and reflect on what they were fighting for, our Christian heritage. Winston Churchill was absolutely clear about this, about what the Second World War was about. In his Finest Hour speech on the 18th of June 1940, he said, "I expect that the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization." Because that is what we are, or at least were, during the times of the Second World War. As Nick Spencer, research director of Theos, a Christian think tank, says in his book, The Evolution of the West, the past, at least in Europe, was Christian. People thought in Christian, spoke in Christian, reasoned in Christian, even as the public square became ever more plural. Belief was ubiquitous, shaping even the minority who did not believe. That was the case 75 years ago as we fought the Second World War, a Christian civilization. And where does all this come from? Well, it comes, of course, from Christ. Tom Holland, I have to confess I've not read his book, but I've read an extensive review on it. It's a book called Dominion, The Making of the Western Mind. And apparently Tom Holland rejected Christianity in his adolescence. He thought it was just fairy stories. But then when he became a professional historian, he studied antiquity for 20 years. And he realized that the values that he held so dear did not come from the Romans. He realized that the Roman time was callous, cruel, and people were treated with complete indifference if they weren't of your own or somebody who was useful to you. Tom Holland wondered then, where did he get the values that means that he treasures people and he wants to love others, even though he didn't at that time have any particular belief. And he realised that actually it was Christ who made the difference. It was Jesus Christ who made the difference. It's when Jesus Christ comes and saying that God so loves you, I have come. It is in that beautiful reading we heard from 1 John. Love becomes the prevailing theme. Love one another as God has loved you. And that was so totally radical and revolutionary for the times. In Roman society, values such as charity and humility, humble service, were just not understood, were not practiced. They were not things to aspire to. It is Christ, Jesus, that has made the difference. Before, no conception of a common humanity. Widespread charity, as I say, was not deemed a virtue, would probably have been unintelligible. And so it is in the love that the practice then by the church, by the followers of Christ, sharing that love with others, that permeates through our society, our civilization. Our law, our democracy comes from that belief that people are precious in God's sight, that we are all of equal value to him. You can go back to King Alfred, for example, where he laid down the laws for our country, drawing from the Bible. But he also wanted to emphasize the words from the Sermon on the Mount. Do to others what you would have them do to you. And he said that if we all followed this golden rule, actually, we wouldn't need rule books and law books. The signing of Magna Carta in 1215 further established due legal process. And of course, there was a long way to go in bringing through this recognition that all people are totally precious in the sight of God. Hundreds of years to work through. And sometimes the church, of course, was taken over by other powers and was abused and did not work for this love that is so vital and integral to the Christian faith. But nonetheless, it has. It does. It's in our laws. It's in our democracy. Nick Spencer points out that there's a clear correlation between Christian faith and the establishment of democracy around the world. He says, those countries with no Christian heritage have come very late to the party, if they've come at all. So this that we value so much in our society has come through the Christ that we worship. It is faith that gives rights. That was recognised in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights when it was being drafted. The authors stated, we agree about the rights, but on condition that no one asks us why. Because without faith, there is no evident reason why all people should be treated equally, as was the case in Greco-Roman times. People were not treated equally. It is Christ that has brought this preciousness of all people being valued and equal in the sight of God, and therefore to one another. But in our Christian heritage, it wasn't just our values, our society, our laws, our democracy. It wasn't that that was simply at work and at stake. It was an active Christian faith that was there 75 years ago. The influence of Christian faith is seen in the extraordinary war efforts, in the prayers that were given by so many through our country and by our leaders. You will remember, for example, that King George VI called for a national prayer day in May 1940 to plead for divine intervention as the British army lay trapped at Dunkirk facing annihilation. I wonder what would happen now today if our Queen or Prime Minister called for a national prayer day. In 1940, millions and millions of people through this country flocked into churches to pray. Winston Churchill, again, in his first broadcast as Prime Minister on the 19th of May 1940, reminded the nation that it was Trinity Sunday. Could you imagine a Prime Minister today reminding any of us that it's any particular Sunday of the year? And he went on to quote from the Apocrypha, 1 Maccabees, "It is better for us to die in battle than to see the misfortunes of our nation and of the sanctuary. But as God's will in heaven may be, so he will do." And Churchill spoke 2 months later of bearing ourselves humbly before God. Another example, General Eisenhower, Supreme Commander of the Allied forces responsible for D-Day, reflected later on how the operation, for all its tragedy and devastation, was a miraculous, he said, success. He wrote, "If there were nothing else in my life to prove the existence of an almighty and merciful God, the events of the next 24 hours did it." And then there's Field Marshal Montgomery on the ending of the war in Europe in 1945. He wrote to all his troops to thank them for what they'd done, but he also wanted to make sure these words were included in the opening statement. We must remember to give praise and thankfulness where it is due. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Quoting Psalm 118. And Winston Churchill wrote in 1942, as the tide of the war was turning, "I sometimes have a feeling of interference. I want to stress that. I have a feeling sometimes that some guiding hand has interfered. I have a feeling that we have a guardian." So we remember with thanks all of this today. We remember the sacrifice of previous generations made. We remember the Christian heritage that I pray God, is part of our lives today, and that previous generations fought so hard to protect. And we remember that people turned to God in prayer to face the threats that were there in the 20th century and as God's providence worked through. And we remember surely all the remarkable focus, commitment, sacrifice made by so many in this country and others in combating that axis of evil. You read anything about the Second World War and particularly about D-Day, you just cannot fail to be moved by the absolute focus there was from our government, our people, into the preparation and planning, all the work that had to be done to bring the victory. So you bring the victory by your preparation and planning and your focus, and you bring the victory by turning to God in prayer, his power alongside and within it all. Absolute focus and commitment in overcoming the threat. And of course, that permeated through the whole of our society. My mum used to talk very much about the struggles of rationing in the Second World War. It was a sacrifice borne by all for the focus of defeating the threat that faced. So this day, be humbled by who the people of our country were and what they did to protect Christian civilization, to provide the nation now as it is for you and I. And now, in our generation, we surely need to face threats together in a similar way, to be committed to protecting our Christian civilization and all the rights and freedoms that we have won, and being very wary if anyone tries to mess with those freedoms and privileges that we have. To show the same unity and resolve that was evident last century in combating the threats to us this century. And of course, the most immediate and obvious threat is accelerating climate change. We surely need to be willing to make the necessary sacrifices that will need to face, are there to needed to face the threat that we do. Nothing like the sacrifices of our forebears, of course, but nonetheless, real sacrifices in how we choose to live. The need is urgent. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned us in September that the world was losing the race to avert climate disaster. And last week, as we saw further evidence with record floods in the north, record fires in the southeast of Australia, and last week, at that same time, 11,000 scientists told us that the people of this world face untold suffering due to the climate crisis and that there are major transformations to global society. There is no time to lose, the scientists say. The climate crisis has arrived and is accelerating faster than most scientists expected. It is more severe than anticipated, threatening natural ecosystems and the fate of humanity. We face a threat, as our forebears faced threats in the past. If we have absolute focus, if we turn and seek God as our people did in the past, his providence can yet prevail, as they witnessed so gloriously. Those words we heard from the book of 2 Chronicles, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land." So we thank God today, do we not, for the saving of our Christian civilization 75 years ago. We thank God for the total commitment and sacrifice in overcoming that threat 75 years ago. We thank God for how our forebears sought God in prayer. We thank God for his providence 75 years ago. May we in our generation be, do, and see the same. Amen.